The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to open up your Bibles, and I want you to, I just want to read scripture. Everybody's familiar with this scripture, but I'm going to go from there, because once again, God is a good God, and in the midst of everything that's taking place around the world, the world is trying to instill fear in everybody's hearts, everybody's mind, and I know it doesn't affect the River Church, because you guys know the truth. But you'll have family members, people around you that are affected by it. But I just want to encourage you today. And I want you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Because I want to say something to you. Regardless of what the world is planning, regardless of what I heard in the news, people are saying that in January, they're talking about all the April 8th, the earthquake that's going to happen. They're already saying the earthquake is going to happen. Okay, they already know that it's going to happen on the 8th and where it's going to happen. Go figure that out. But at the end of the day, we serve a God who has already spoken over your life what your circumstance and what your future is going to be. And what God has spoken, no man has a right to change, and he can't change. God's word is final. So once God has spoken a word over your life, you have to understand that it has been established. Just like when he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished." It is done. When the word of God is spoken over your life, when you can actually grab the word of God and appropriate it and take it into your heart and you understand it to be true, that you know that you know that you know that that word will come to pass. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. It doesn't matter. Our God is a God of faith. And everything he does by faith, by speaking. He speak those things that are not as if they were. And once you became born again, you also became a child of faith. Where you also have the power and authority to speak those things that are not as if they were. But you have to be careful. What voice are you listening to? Because voices speak. And the world has voices speaking to many people. And the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." But the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So it is extremely important who it is that you're listening to. Your ears are made to hear from God and God alone. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So as you hear the word of God, faith comes in. And you believe the word of God. You start speaking the faith. Start speaking what you hear in your heart. And all of a sudden, it becomes manifested. But you have to apply it. You have to block out the voices of the world. The question is, who's speaking to you? Who are you listening to? The Bible says, keep his word in your heart. Keep it. Keep it in your heart. And these blessings will follow you in Deuteronomy. And he lists all the blessings that he has for you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. Your house will be blessed. Your animals will be blessed. Your storehouse will be blessed. No matter what you do, you're blessed. So when God has established, and he's already established in his word, what your outcome is going to be, as a child of God, you should not be moved. The Bible says that Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross because of what he was looking ahead, which is you and me. The children of God today will endure this earth and endure everything they throw at you because your eyes are set for the joy that's set before you now. Which is meeting Jesus face to face. As a child of God, what you see in the natural, well, let me put it to you this way. Everything that's in the natural is only temporary. I'm going to say it again. Everything that you see in the natural is temporary. It will pass. This whole world is going to pass. Your problems are going to pass. The evil people are going to pass. Everything is going to pass. So whatever you see with your physical eyes that's coming at you to create fear, doubt, confusion, you're looking at temporal things. But your eyes have to be fixed as a child of faith into eternal things. You need to look at the eternal one who created the heaven and the earth, the eternal one who became flesh and died on the cross for you, who actually gave you something to look forward to. And when the things in the world start growing dim, he becomes brighter and brighter. As a child of God, you have to see things through spiritual eyes, because life is going to speak to you. Look, I'll tell you what, life spoke to you today when you gave. Some people felt in their heart to give. I got to give this. And you hear a voice. No, you shouldn't do that. You have to buy some milk. Oh, I'm going to give 100. No, you're talking to yourself. No, I'm not going to give 100. I'll give 20. Because, you know, I got things in there coming up this week. Circumstances will speak to you. Debt will speak to you. Lack will speak to you. Fear, poverty will speak to you. God will instruct you in your heart to do something, and immediately another voice will come to counteract it. But you're designed to hear from God. And him alone. You have to train your ear to hear God. And the only way you can do this is by listening and hearing the word of God and reading the word of God. The greatest word of faith you're going to hear, the greatest voice of faith you're going to hear is your own. You have to meditate in the word of God. You have to read the word of God. Put it in your heart. And you'll be a creature of faith, a child of faith. And no matter what happens, no matter what this world throws at you, it doesn't matter. Like I told the class in university, in Spanish class, you'll look at it and you'll be like, I don't care. A problem rises up, situation comes up, goes, I don't care. It doesn't matter. 100 years from now, you're not going to even exist. You are eternal. Everything else is going to pass. The only reason why you will suffer, the only reason why you will carry that burden is if your heart is attached to temporal things. And if your heart's attached to temporal things, now you worry about lack. Now you worry about not having enough. Now you start to worry about, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You start looking at different circumstances. You're not happy with your life because now your heart's anchored to this earth. But if you realize it and you know that your life is attached to eternal things, then you realize that everything that's on this earth is only temporal. They're only vehicles to use to carry the gospel. You don't own anything. When you pass and you die, you're not taking nothing with you. So what do you own? They're tools, instruments for the kingdom of God. And if you attach everything to the kingdom of God, God will bless it. God will breathe on it. Just like the Lord told Pastor Rodney, when everything means nothing to you, I will give it to you. But there's a dying to oneself that has to take place. So as a child of God, everything is available for you. Everything's in the Bible for you. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger he will not follow. But then he also said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What is lack of knowledge? Lack of understanding of the word of God. Because if you don't know what belongs to you, if you don't know what rights you have as a child of God, anybody can come and lie to you. The devil will come and speak to you, and you'll fall for that lie. But if you know the word of God, you can do like Jesus did, just like he taught you. When the enemy comes and starts to speak to you, he said, shut up, devil. It is written. But the devil doesn't care about your opinions. The only thing that moves him is the word of God. And you have to use the word of God. You guys found the scripture? Okay. Yes. I have to read the scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you already know this by heart, but I love this. See, some people watching by television, maybe the devil's been lying to you and telling you what your outcome is going to be, and you're fearful about all the stuff that, you know, turn off the television. Turn off the television. Don't even watch it. Trust me, if you don't watch it, you won't even know anything is happening. You won't. You won't even know. The reason why they put it on television because they have to convince you of all this stuff, because if you don't watch it, you're not going to suffer it. Jeremiah 29:11. Here we go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Okay, who said this? Okay, it wasn't man, right? It's the Lord, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now listen to this. It's going to contradict everything Finocchio said. It's going to contradict everything that everybody is saying in the television. It's going to contradict everything that their doomsday prognosticators are saying is going to happen. It's going to contradict everything. So you have to choose what voice you're going to listen to. Okay? He goes, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. But pastor, they're saying there's going to be a famine. They're saying there's going to be a great lack of everything on the planet. For the world, yes. But are you a child of God? If God has to send a raven to your house, if God has to send a flock of ravens to your house and bring you bread and meat, he will do so. You have to simply believe. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Does that sound to you like a doomsday scenario for you? Does that sound to you like God has abandoned you? Does that sound to you like what they're saying on television that's about to take place? For a child of God who hears the voice of God, when you hear something like that, all you can do is laugh. You just laugh. Pastor, why am I going to laugh? Because your Father in heaven is laughing. And if your father decides to laugh, maybe you should laugh too. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 2 that he who sits in the heaven laughs. So let's practice. Ha ha, he he, ho ho. You just laugh in the face of the enemy. See, God is laughing and many are worried. Why don't you just join God in the laughing? Nothing will confuse the enemy that comes at you with all his rage and fury. And you sit there go, ha, 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 ha. First of all, he's going to think you're crazy. This guy's crazy. This guy's nuts. See, the Bible said that he prepares a banquet table. And in that banquet table, Jesus Christ is already sitting there. And that's reserved for you. And in that banquet table, you have the blessing, you have the hope, you have a future, you have your healing, you have provision, you have your deliverance. Everything that God promised you is at that banquet table. You don't have to fight the devil. Jesus said, he didn't say, I prepared an arena for us to go in and do MMA on the devil. He said, no, I prepared a banquet table in the midst of your enemy. He wants you to sit and die. Why? Because he said, it's finished. He already won the victory. He already won the battle. But the other voices that speak, and you listen, it speaks because it needs you to get up from that table. It needs you to get up and sit at his table. So he can deal with you. He starts speaking about lack, doubt, worry, concern. And next thing you know, you find yourself sitting at a table that you're a stranger to. It's not your portion. You're created to be seated in heavenly places, not in an earthly realm. So your eyes and your heart should be fixed on heavenly places. You should be looking at things from eternal perspective. You're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, a place of authority, a place of power. Only you can remove yourself from there. The devil does not have the power to remove you from there. The devil has no power against you at all or the church. He has to convince you to willingly step down. God says, I have a plan for you. God says, I have a plan of a hope in the future. I have a plan to prosper and bless you. Who else is talking to you? Maybe you just have to shout and say, shut up! And take your place. Take your place, your rightful place. God loves you. We will never comprehend, the Bible says, the price he paid for us. We will never comprehend. The Bible says that yet while we were supposed to, he chose us. You were still a sinner, and he chose to die for you and for me. We were not even deserving of it, and he chose to die for you and for me. The love of God is unconditional. As human beings, it's very difficult because we can love somebody until they step on your toe. We can love somebody until they touch your toothbrush, students. Who touched my ramen noodles? All it is what they can do for you. You know, it's all conditional. God's love is unconditional. God's love, true love, listen to me, true love always endures. True love. And Jesus demonstrated true love because he endured a lot for the love of you and the love of me. The Bible says, like a lamb to the slaughter, he had every right while they were mocking him on the cross. The Bible says that in the Psalms that he could see his bones. And they mocked the great I am. He had every right to say, stop, excuse me. Let me show you who I really am. You ever seen the movie The Avengers? Thanos go like this? He didn't even have to do it. All he had to do was think it. Angel, you don't understand. The angels were ready. They were on the edge of their seats, swords drawn. They were ready to unleash on this earth for their creator, for the heaven's jewel. They were ready. And for the love of you, he just stayed quiet. He couldn't open up his mouth. And in the midst of him dying, he looks over to the person next to him who said, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. All he said was, remember me. He acknowledged that he was the Christ. He acknowledged that he was a Savior. And Jesus responded in the midst of what he was going through. I can imagine him probably just gurgling, trying to speak through the blood. I can't even imagine the image. And saying, today you will be with me in paradise. His love, true love endures all. True love will always prevail. Now I'm going to say something. This is going to be a little... Maybe you'll take it right, maybe you'll take it wrong. But like I said, I don't care. It's to bless you. True love always prevails. Listen to me. True love always prevails. Jesus already demonstrated his true love for you. And he gave it all to you. He did not compromise his life for the love of you and me. He endured every temptation and remained faithful to you. Because you see, the Bible says that he is the groom and you are the bride. And when he came to earth, in the midst of everything that came against his life, he remained faithful to his bride. His love for you drove him, compelled him, gave him the courage to endure the cross, the joy that was set before him, his bride. The devil threw every temptation so he could be unfaithful to his bride. And he said, absolutely not. And then he died and gave us a promise ring, which is the Holy Spirit, until his return. True love always prevails. True love will always keep you faithful. That's why the enemy is constantly trying to create a wedge between you and your Savior. Because he's the groom. He was faithful. He gave you the promise ring. He left. And he's preparing a place for you. You know, in the Jewish custom, when a guy gets married to the bride, he leaves and goes and prepares a place for her. And when he has a place established and built, he comes back to pick up his bride. It's exactly what he's doing. But in some cases, you think Jesus is going to return and find that somebody was unfaithful to him. See, the devil's always trying to create a wedge between the body of Christ and Jesus. He's going to always tempt you. He's going to always try to woo you with his voice. My beautiful wife, I love her with all my heart. There's no other voice for me that I would listen to but my wife's voice. And she hears my voice. Then why is it that so many in the body of Christ are listening, are being entertained by other voices that are not of the groom? That are being tempted to be unfaithful to their Creator in their walk with the Lord. You answer the altar call to receive them as your Lord and Savior. But many are bound by drug addiction. Many are bound by pornography. Many are bound by the lust of the flesh. And they don't realize what takes place. It's a struggle, Pastor. Well, stop answering the altar call. You see, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws you to him. Well, that's exactly what happens with sin. No one goes into sin unless they're drawn by that Spirit. The devil makes an altar call. He brings a temptation. The Spirit draws you. And many answer the altar call of sin. And they fall into sin. And then many even give offerings to their sin, to their addictions, to what they're doing. And then many go into a private place and start worshiping to do their acts in private because they're shameful to do it in public. And then they come to church on Sunday and they answer the altar call again. You will always be faced with an altar call. The question is, which altar call are you going to listen to and be faithful to? True love always prevails. Whatever you love the most is where you're going to head to. Whatever you love the most, that's where you're going to fix your eyes on. Whatever you love the most, whatever is true to your spirit and your heart, whatever you desire is where you're going to head to. True love always prevails. Some people are so in love with this world, and it's foolish because this world is going to pass away. And they don't realize that what Jesus has for you, he already has exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you desire, what you want. And he knows exactly how to fulfill the desires of your heart. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for humanity. For humanity. God gave his son for humanity. So whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. That's available to you and to me. The gospel doesn't change. Listen to me. The world is going to change. Things in this planet is going to change. Society is going to change. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are three things that you can guarantee will never change. God does not change. God is not changed. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God, and I change not. He does not change. The world, the pandemic, the whole world actually changed. They're trying to change everything around you. They're trying to change how you worship God. They're trying to change how you live your life. But God does not change. Society changes, but God does not change. God is not going to change to conform to society's practice or how society changes. No, that society has to change, but God does not change. He's a holy God. And because he's a holy God, he has a holy judgment, which we see what happened to place on his son. That's why he sent his son. His holy judgment fell upon his son. The Bible says it pleased him to bruise his son because he loved you. His son had to face the holy wrath of God so that you didn't have to face it. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His word is infallible. His word will never change. It is permanent. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but his word shall never pass. When this earth is long gone, when everything that exists disappears, his word will remain true forever. He does not compromise with society. He does not compromise with the changes of time. God is God. He is eternal, and he is who he is. Thank you, Jesus. He left heaven. The very plan of redemption is the outpouring of God's love for humanity. He sent his son to be the ultimate sacrifice. Everything God did is because he loves you. Everything that he did. Everything. Because he loves you. He did everything he could possibly do to help you. He demonstrated his love by sending his son on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus think about Jesus, the son of the living God, and the price that he paid for you and for me. He loves you. Regardless of what the devil may say to you, he loves you. He loves you. He will never stop loving you. He took our place and paid the debt with his life. You are his joy. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners, he died for you. The Bible also says that, you know, and this is what you have to understand, his love didn't just stop there. Jesus not only didn't just come here just to die for us, he came to show us the purpose here on earth. He demonstrated how to live on earth as a child of God. He came here. His life was a very example for you and for me here on earth. To show us how to live as children of God. His love was so great that he didn't just die for us, he empowered us to live as he did. He empowered us to live with power. He empowered us to live with authority. The Bible says that when he went to heaven, he said, I will not leave you orphans. And in the book of Acts, you see how they were all in one accord and they were all filled with power of the Holy Ghost and power. And they were walking and they started walking and doing like Jesus did. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, for God was with him. But the Bible said the good that he did was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So God loved you so much that he didn't just die and forgive your sins. He empowered you. He gave you his Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. He made you temples of the Holy Ghost. Now he lives on the inside of you. The most precious thing to God, the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of you in all his fullness. I'm going to go through Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then 1 Corinthians 2:1 through 5. It says, and I, brethren, this is Paul, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He came to show you how to live in his power. He came to show you to demonstrate that power. Matthew 11:2-4. This is John the Baptist when he was in prison. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? It's kind of funny. He was one proclaiming Jesus Christ, who was going to baptize with fire, whose sandals he was not even worthy to tie. Now he's in prison. Now his neck is on the line. He's asking, hey, can you make sure he's the one? His life is on the line. Or do we look for another? Jesus answered. Listen to what Jesus said. John is asking, is he the one? How do I know that he's the one? How do I know that he's the one, the Messiah? Jesus said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus is telling John the Baptist, you know how you know that I'm involved? You know how you know that it's me? The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are being raised. And then he says, blessed are those who are not offended for my sake. In other words, blessed are those who are not moved, even when it's not working for you. Even when it doesn't look promising for you. How do you know that God is with you? How do you know that God is with you when you go out there preaching the gospel? Well, you're going to see, just like Jesus said, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers are going to be clean, the dead are going to be raised. He has empowered you to live like he did. He has empowered you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Every gift that's in the Bible is yours. Every promise in the Bible is yours. You just have to take it. You have to appropriate it, and you have to walk in it, and you have to believe it. He went about doing good. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God. Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I'm going to tell you today. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. When you start doing good, you silence the mouth of doubters. You silence those who come against you. When the pandemic hit and all the doubters came, they were completely silenced because they saw the hand of God upon the River Church. They saw the blessing of God upon this church, and they could not say nothing about it. Well, by doing good. What good? I'll read it again. This is the good. This is God's will for you. I'll read it again, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. What's the good? healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. For God was with him. He was doing good. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with them. You have a hope and a future. God has promised to bless you, to prosper you. But there's a lost and dying world out there who don't have a solution. And the only solution that they have is Jesus Christ. And the only Jesus that they're going to see face to face is you when you walk out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only good they're going to be able to recognize and see is when you're laying hands on the sick, you're casting out devil, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. And as you start doing that, they're going to see the good works of God. And foolish men are going to have to shut up. A foolish man said that there is no God, the Bible says. But when you start demonstrating the power of God, they have no argument. They have nothing to say. So he died for you because he loves you, but he empowered you to live in the glory of God, in the power of God, in the blessing of God. And that same anointing that he has given you to do all these things is the same anointing that prospers your life, that produces everything that he's given you. When you are saved, it's threefold. It's spiritually, it's physically, and it's financially. He covers you completely. Everything that's on the banquet table is available to you as a child of God. You can eat whatever you want, as much as you want. It's your choice. Say it with me, I will have it all. I want it all. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's God working through you. When you died to yourself, you were born again. The Bible says you were buried with Christ. And the same way when God resurrected Jesus, he saw you resurrected with Jesus. And when he sat Jesus in heavenly places, he sees you seated in heavenly places with Jesus. So today, Jesus was the manifestation on earth of God, demonstrating the love of God here on earth, demonstrating how much God loves his people through the anointing of God, the anointing of God as God's love manifested, the anointing of God. When somebody comes and feels the anointed answer the other call, that's the love of God. When there's a blind eye and it's being opened, that's the love of God being manifested through the anointing of God. When somebody's oppressed by the devil and a man of God comes in the anointing, that anointing comes and breaks the yoke. That's the love of God being manifested over his children. That's what Jesus did. Jesus walked on this earth and he rectified everything he saw out of order. Everything that was out of place. Jesus walked on this earth and fixed everything. He's walking. He sees a blind man. What do you need? I want to see. Open your eyes. He saw a lame man. He walked. All that were sick and oppressed by the devil. Everything that the devil broke, Jesus came and he fixed. Everything. He demonstrated by his life how we should live on earth. Now he has empowered you to do the same. So when you see something that's out of place, you see somebody bound by drugs, you cast that devil out of them. You see somebody bound by oppression, you set the captives free. You see somebody is blind, you pray, and they're healed in the name of Jesus. And people will know that you have been called by God. You are now the extension. You see, your hands are his hands. Your mouth is his mouth. Your feet is his feet. So whatever you do, you represent Jesus here on earth. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The world may want him to change, to fit the norms, the changes in society. God does not change. He's holy. He's holy. And his son, Jesus, was faithful to you. He demonstrated how much he loves you. And now he sits in the throne of heaven watching his bride as she's being purified and washed by the word of God in preparation for his coming. And when he returns, he's not coming to find a chick cheating on him. He's not going to come for a bride whose eyes for another, who's flirting with somebody else, the world. His bride is faithful. His bride understands how much he loves her. And she has no eyes for no one but her groom. Her eyes are not fixed on carnal things, because this will pass away. Her eyes are fixed on eternal things, are fixed on the joy that's set before her, the coming of the groom, the coming of her Lord and Savior, the coming of her Creator. And when he comes, he's going to find his bride as beautiful as she can be, without spot or blemish. And our job is to be faithful. Our job is to be faithful, to have our ears only for him. In every aspect, whether that be in your giving, whether that be in your serving, whether that be in your preaching, no matter what it is, your ears are only fixed on what he has to say and not on the voice of a stranger. That requires you to live in your first love. You have to rekindle that first love. Because everything I just talked about, the power, the anointing, the flow of the Holy Ghost, all of that is based out of that first love. You have to operate out of there. You have to be passionate about Jesus. His passion becomes your passion. His love becomes your love. His language becomes your language. And you walk and you talk like him. And you just want to please him. And as you start walking it out in that first love, you have compassion for the lost. You have compassion for the brokenhearted. You have compassion for the oppressed. Because you speak the same language. True love always prevails. How is your love doing? How is your love doing? See, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And the way of salvation doesn't change. It's still the same. No one can come unto the Father but through his Son, Jesus Christ. No one. There is no other way. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He wrote the book. You cannot argue with the author that you don't like the ending of the story. It's already written. It's a done deal. He's not going to change. We need to change. We need to conform to his word of God. We need to surrender our lives and submit to the Holy Ghost so he can do what he needs to do in our lives. So that when he returns, he finds a faithful bride, a beautiful bride without a spot or blemish. It has to be burning on the inside of you. It has to be burning on the inside of you. You have to hear the cry of the lost. He has empowered you to live in his glory, in his blessing, and there's no harm that can come against you. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are the blessed. God has blessed you. His hand is upon you. He has created you to prosper. He has created you to walk in his grace and his mercy and his blessing. You are blessed. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. His will for you is that you be prosperous, blessed, that you see the hope in the future that he has for you. He showed you. He endured the cross because of that love that was set before him. Now, can you see what is set before you? You were so precious to him that he endured it for you. And now all we have to do is live on this earth that's so passing, like the glass that withers away. It's compared to eternity, it's a blink of an eye. Can you be faithful to him in that moment of time? Can you just fix your eyes on Jesus and tell the world, I don't care what you have to offer? I belong to someone else. You were bought with a price, a precious price, a heavy price. When God needed an offering, he sent the most expensive, the most precious thing he could send for you. So when the devil comes to you to try to convince you, to try to torment you, to try to just, you just need to let the devil know that he can't afford you. All he can do is window shop. All he can do is window shop and knock on the glass door hoping you can come out. You have to devalue who Christ says you are to entertain the devil. So when the devil comes knocking, he comes speaking to you. Say, hey, just come hang out with me. He won't be back for a while. Yeah, sorry, you can't afford this. I'm too expensive. You can't touch this. Oh, he bought me with a price. Oh, you don't have anything close to the price that he paid for me. You can't afford me. I am valuable. I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. God has determined the value that you are. Don't diminish your value. You have been called by God. You have been anointed by God for a purpose. You can say like that saying, oh, Father, dip me in the kerosene of your spirit and set me ablaze that I may burn for you. You need to let the world see you burn. You need to burn for your family. You need to burn for your neighbors. You need to burn even for your enemies. They need to see you burn for Jesus. If you're burning, he won't even come close to you. He won't even come near you. You try to come by proxy. A fly never lands on a hot stove. So if flies are landing on your head, maybe you're lukewarm and maybe you need to rekindle that fire. I just want to say this for people that are listening. There are people who say, God, I'm being faithful. My mind, I'm just being tormented in my past, in my past, in my past. I'm going to share this with you. If God does something for you and you have a testimony, your job is to share that testimony. Because the glory and the honor goes to him. And if you steal that glory and honor by keeping your testimony quiet, now you carry the weight of that glory. Some people went through some things in life that are shameful, painful, and they don't testify. So now since you don't testify, the devil reminds you, becomes a torment. But if you testify where God took you out of, every time the devil reminds you, it's just a reminder of the goodness of God. It reminds you where you were and where you are now. It reminds you how God took you from where you were and he lifted you up and cleaned you up and put you in heavenly places. You have to share your testimony. If you don't share your testimony, it will become a torment. Share it. Share it. I promise you, the moment you start sharing your testimony, you start talking about the goodness of God. And the devil reminds you a couple of times of what your pastor. Oh, thank you for reminding me. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. I was lost. I was on my way to hell, and my God came and saved me. You start testing the devil. Shut. The devil's going to tell his demons, shut up. Stop bothering them. Stop reminding them. Because when God delivers you from something, you have been empowered to deliver somebody else. The same anointing that delivers you is available in your life. You have a spiritual diploma on the wall to deliver people. Don't be lazy with your faith. God does not change. Say it with me. God does not change. I need to change. God loves me. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. I dare you to laugh at your situation. Oh, I dare you to laugh at your situation. Some of you know you've been baptized in vinegar. You got to smile. Laugh that out. You got to break through the veil of the flesh. You serve a good God. Your face should be a billboard of the goodness of God. Your face should be a billboard that you have been redeemed. You have been sanctified. Your face should be a billboard of the love and the grace of God on your life. Man, I feel the fire of God. Whew. Jesus. You understand that he loves you? You know how awesome it is for a child of God to be able to put his head on a pillow and sleep peacefully knowing that the creator of the universe loves you? You wonder what I'm doing. I'm watching the blessing of the Lord being poured out on people. I see the Lord just pouring blessing upon his people. You have to have an open heart to receive it. The blessing of God being poured out. With joy, you will bring out the waters of salvation. The water of salvation is a water that's grateful. It's a water that's thankful to their God. It's a water that's joyful. Why? Because you've been saved. You've been redeemed. The price was paid. The debt was paid. And you're on your way to heaven because Jesus loves you. I want Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. We talked about that true love prevails, always prevails, and always endures. Maybe you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never heard of Jesus. I want you to know that 2,000 years ago today, Jesus Christ hung on the cross for you so you wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell. The price was paid for you. And today you have an opportunity to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe you want to participate in the blessing of God, where you no longer have to worry about the things to come, but your eyes will be fixed on your Savior, Jesus Christ. Like Pastor says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilt and shame. Salvation is here for you. It's not difficult. It's just a choice. Or maybe you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus, but your heart has grown cold. You're not serving Him the way you used to. Maybe something came against your life that's unseen, you know, and just was a blow. Maybe you went through a divorce, a financial bankruptcy, a betrayal of a friend. Something came that rocked your world, and you know you no longer are serving God the way you used to. Well, today, you can make things right. You can come back to the feet of Jesus. You don't have to start all over again. You just start fresh. He's been waiting for you. He loves you. Or maybe you're here today and you are born again, but the devil keeps lying to you. You hear those voices telling you that you're not saved, and you find yourself constantly battling in your mind, and you love God. And you want to make sure that you know that you know what, today is your opportunity to seal it once and for all. Two thousand years ago, Jesus, for the love that He had for you, paid the price. And the only thing you have to do in return is just receive Him. What an awesome trade. If you're here, watch me, or by television, in the sound of my voice, and you want to receive or get prayed for any of those three things I just mentioned, I want you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Jesus. Okay, put your hands down. I want everybody to look at me, please. This section right here, if you did not raise your hand and you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to make, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God is calling right now. This section in the middle right here, if you did not raise your hand and you want me to pray for you in the prayer that I'm about to make, include you in the prayer. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Oh, God has something in store for you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this section over here, if you did not raise your hand and you want to be included in the prayer that I'm about to make, raise your hand right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. I want everybody that raised your hand to please stand up where you are right now. And please come forward and join me. Come. Jesus is calling you. There's a voice that's calling you right now. Listen to that voice. Listen to the voice that says, come. Come. He calls you. He calls you. Ignore any other voice. Church, this is glorious. This is glorious. Come on, they're still coming. Come on. They're still coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The most simplest decision to make, and usually the most difficult decision for people to make, because there's a battle in the mind between the two voices. The Holy Spirit is drawing you, but something's telling you just to sit down. I encourage you to just to come forward if that's you. Today is a new day for you. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to look at me. Watch me with television. I want you to just, where you are, just stand up in your home. You did not come to man. You came to Jesus. And the fact that you actually are up here is because the Holy Spirit draws you. The Bible says no man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. So you actually felt the pull of the Holy Ghost. You actually heard the still small voice of God speaking to you. So you could never, ever say that he doesn't listen to you. He did. And I'm going to say a prayer for you. One prayer fits everybody here. And I want you guys to repeat this with your prayer, with your lips and your heart out loud. Okay? Lift your right hand up to heaven. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Never let me be the same again. Father, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again. And I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again for me. I ask you, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the things of God. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I am born again because I have Jesus in my heart. Hallelujah. Look at me. I'm going to pray over you right now. You just lift your hands and close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every person here will be sealed by your Spirit, that not one will be missing on that day. Father, I break every attack of the enemy off their life in Jesus' mighty name. I break every power of witchcraft, every lie of the devil broken off of their life in the name of Jesus. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Now, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God Almighty, I tell each and every single one of you that your sins are forgiven you right now. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. If you're watching by way of television and you said that prayer, please call the number on the screen and let us know. Give us your testimony of what God is doing for you right now. We'll be here again tonight at 7 p.m. So I just want to encourage you, don't miss out. God is doing amazing things. And if you're close by, please come. Join us. We'll be here every single day of the week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. at the stand. And once again, Sunday morning at 9:30 and 7 p.m. We love you. Stay connected. Hallelujah. And each of you guys that are here, congratulations on the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. God has forgiven you. All your sins are forgiven. Every single one. The Bible says that when He forgives you, He does not even remember what they are. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. You've been redeemed. You've been justified. Justified means as if it never happened. Whatever your past is, it's gone. You are a new creature. And the love of God abides in you now. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.